Umbriel says I'm so good with plants because I'm as quiet as they are. He might be wrong. According to the oldest people here, green growths weren't always silent. Leaves once cartwheeled in the wind, and storms snatched branches from trunks with deafening cracks. But these plants surrounding me are mute apple trees, strawberry bushes, and cotton shrubs, with fibers and filaments of cellulose that would, if they could, complain about never anchoring in the earth and soil, and never seeing the light of day, except through the carbon-reinforced glass of the Greenhouse 22 roof. I used to imagine their limbs lengthening toward the tantalizing sliver of a sphere along the horizon, trying to stretch away from this barren, cratered satellite and reach the earth we all came from. I stopped sympathizing with them at 13, when I converted the energy of my childish fancies into relentless concentration in primary education. Now we come to the greenhouses after class to make extra money. I don't try to understand the plants anymore. I just take care of them.
Fate,
Umbriel says. Because my name's pronounced Fate, it sounds like destiny's calling every time someone addresses me.
This one's growing quickly. Can you bring me the stake?
He stands a few meters down the row of flowering apple trees, scrutinizing a branch that has gotten too long and upset the balance of the sapling. It looks like one of those old earth buildings called skyscrapers, shrunken down and ready to tip over. Ironic, that name. We are closer to the sky than they ever were. To reach him, I leap across the plants between us. There are no grav magnets above our heads, so acrobatics unimaginable in the rest of Base 4 are possible here. I relish the sight of my billowing white clothes until gravity pulls me back down. We strap a pole to the sapling's trunk so that the lengthening branch doesn't cause it to tilt farther. Umbriel's awkwardly tall body resembles the skinny tree we're disciplining, a likeness intensified by the matching green of his clothes. Smiling, I scoop smelly compost from a box with a small shovel and spread it in a ring around the base of the trunk. Moisture hits my scalp while I work. The spray nozzles in the ceiling have released water onto the left side of my head. Umbriel bunches his sleeve around his hand and uses it to soak up the droplets in my tightly coiled hair.
Let's hope this dries before Dorado sees. Heh, aren't you a waste of water?
H2O is dear to us. It costs 3 Sputniks for a 1-liter canteen of the stuff to drink. If we're lucky, Dorado, the head agriculture specialist who never enters the greenhouses himself, isn't watching the cameras closely. He's old, at least 70, and dozes off on the job unless he's shaking his cane at us clumsy young folk. In spite of the inconvenience we've caused him, I think he likes us. When we were 11, Umbriel tripped over a pumpkin vine and landed face first in a clump of Vaccinium 8, a bioengineered variety of fist-sized blueberries with savagely poisonous leaves. Dorado heard shouts of agony through the security screens, saw splotches of scarlet erupt on Umbriel's skin, and summoned a team of medics on the spot. It was a special case, he told us, because we were young. Normally, he wouldn't call medics for workers' non-lethal accidents. That's when I began hoping to become a bioengineer, so I'd get to work on projects like reducing the plant's toxin levels while increasing their nutritional content. I don't usually slip up, and neither does Umbriel, not anymore. We trained under heavy supervision for 3 years before they gave us duties, and for good reason. Greenhouse plants supply the bulk of the base's nutrition, as well as the cotton in our robes and the oxygen we breathe. Above my head, solar-powered filters dump carbon dioxide into the greenhouse and pump oxygen to the rest of the base.